We are taking a break from the Ten Commandments here in Exodus, but we're not taking a break from Exodus. Exodus 35 is where we're going to be today. And I have a message that I pray would stir your heart, because it's mentioned a lot of times in here about hearts being stirred. You know, in the heart of every person is the desire to be part of something greater than yourself. Right? We desire, because, again, when we look at things, yes, we are greatly loved by God. Yes, we are made in the image of God. Yes, we are even fearfully and wonderfully made. But in the grand scheme of things, let's be honest, we are but a speck of dust in the vast universe that God has created. We think about microbes being microscopic, but again, in the grand scheme of things, we ourselves are microscopic. In the march of history, think about history. I mean, millennia on top of millennia. And the Bible says that we are but a vapor that is here today and gone tomorrow. That's what the Bible says that we are. And so in our temporary, minute, relatively small life, our heart and soul longs to be part of something greater than ourselves. Something that's transcendent. Something that is infinite. Because we ourselves are finite, right? We who are here today and gone tomorrow, we long to impact this earth long after we're gone. How many of you guys want to make an impact that lasts longer than your lifetime? Amen? Amen. Friends, I want to tell you that one of the ways that you can do that is through the ministry of Eastwood Baptist Church. There are a lot of good organizations. There are a lot of things that you can pour your life into that's going to do that. But one of the ways that I want to point you to is the very church that you are worshiping in today. We are kicking off in this season of our life here at Eastwood a capital campaign. And that might make some of you feel uncomfortable as we come and we talk about money. And if you're a guest here this morning, let me say to you, we are primarily talking to the members of this church as far as when we talk about giving. We want you as a guest to feel very free to not feel obligated to give anything, okay? But as a congregation, we have decided to do ministry together. And that means ministry, that means that it takes resources. And so today we begin kicking off a few messages to think about finances and about stewardship. We've been given an opportunity to sow into a vision that is way bigger than us. Way bigger than us. In fact, you know what? It's God's vision, isn't it? That's the theme of our entire capital campaign. His vision, our faith. And so it's a God-sized vision. It's His vision. But He desires to use us. And that's the thing that should amaze us. I mentioned a moment ago, right, that we're here today, gone tomorrow. Relatively speaking, we are small. And we know that we are not perfect. Yet God desires to use us. Praise God that He does. In His grace and His mercy, He's called us to come alongside Him in accomplishing His purpose on this earth. And let me just say here, God is more than enough. Amen? God is more than enough. Not only is God more than enough, but He has supplied you and me with more than enough. And in return, guess what we get to do now? We get to in turn come alongside Him and have the opportunity for us to give more than enough. My prayer as we enter into this capital campaign is that we will never have to come as leadership of this church and say, we need more, we need more, we need more. My prayer as we set this vision and launch it out there, that you guys will grasp this and that we will come to you and have to say, stop giving because you have brought in more than enough. The subject of this morning's message is this. I want to help teach you this morning on how to give until you have to be told to stop. Isn't that a glorious thing? Enough! It's come in. We don't need any more. We've got a great example preserved for us in Scripture here. In Exodus 35 and 36, there's a great example here of the children of Israel preserved for us in Scripture as we think about what it means to give until you have to be told to stop. And so today we're going to, again, like I said, take a break from the Ten Commandments, but we're here in Exodus. So here we are in Exodus 35, verse 4 is where we'll begin reading. And if you would indulge me to honor the Lord, would you stand for the reading of His Word? It's quite a long passage. We're going to read through 36, verse 7. But here's what it says. It says, Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let every skilled craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat, and the veil on the screen, or the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence. The lampstand also for the light with its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light. And the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the door at the door of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand. Verse 17. The hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, the garments of his sons for their service as priests. Verse 20. Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects. Every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord, and every one who passed or who possessed blue and purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill upon the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work of the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord is called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, and of the tribe of Judah. And he was filled in him with the Holy Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for the work in every skilled craft. And he was inspired him to teach, both him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled him with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer. Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work and in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him free will offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart, open our mind to the truth of your word. Help us, God, to hear and to be a doer of what you've laid forth here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. That is quite a long passage here. But I want to point out to you that this text is a great example to help us understand how to give until we have to be told to stop. And there are six actions here that I want to point you to. The first action to help you give until you have to be told to stop is to see the need. See the need. It's implied here in the text. There was a need, and God called Moses to go let the people know that there was a need. Now here, the need was a tabernacle. A mobile temple, basically, okay? Now, what we have built over in Alvaton is not a temple, okay? I know there are places that are called like Temple Baptist Church or the Temple of whatever they're going to say. It's not a temple, okay? It's not a tabernacle, right? We have built a house of ministry, a house of worship, because God does not dwell in tents. He does not dwell in a building. He dwells in the hearts of His people. But we nevertheless have a need that is as great as theirs, right? A need that is as great as theirs. We need a place, a mission house, so to speak, to call our own, to send people out, to bring people to train people, to love people, to reach people. You know, I'm really thankful for the 4 years here at Plano Elementary. I've been here for almost a year of that time. How many of you have been here all 4 years? Raise your hand if you've been here all 4 years at Plano Elementary. Praise God. I'm really thankful for what we have here. But it's not ours, right? If we decided to tear down that wall and to build something else, we couldn't do it, right? If we wanted to take the worship center out there and paint it something different, or to put up a design or a resource center or anything like that, we couldn't do it. If we wanted to have a baptism right here, we couldn't do it. This is not our space. It's not ours. And so we have a great need to go out and to do what God has called us to do. And one of those things that comes along with the mission is to build a building. I've got to say that there are a lot of folks who are sort of down on buildings. They're down on church buildings, right? Oh, it's a waste of money. You know, churches should just meet in schools and things like that. I say to them, try it for a while and see how you do. Yes, we can put too much money into buildings. Yes, we can put too many resources tied up into stuff. But I want you to understand, and you guys, I know you feel this, that ministry is facilitated through stuff, right? Through buildings. We are people of flesh and blood, and we need places to do ministry through. And God has provided magnificently for us. As we come into this capital campaign, it might be a little bit strange to you, maybe from other capital campaigns, is that we've already built the thing. And maybe in other times, right, you raise the money and get it all done before you ever even build it. But as I've talked with Pastor Tom, one of the reasons why you didn't is because you guys were moved by the urgency to have a place right here immediately. Right? You saw the need, the lostness, those who were who maybe have been saved, but they're not connected to a church. And so you didn't wait around until a building was built. You wanted to launch something immediately where you could affect people's eternity forever. You could begin to work for that thing that I talked about in the beginning that was greater than yourself. And so you launched South Campus right here. But now God has provided a great thing. He has given us land. He has built us a building. And we have the opportunity to do great things through it. Of course, in God's power and in God's will and for God's glory. But nevertheless, it's going to be a great resource for us. $4 million is what the building cost over there. $4 million. We had $2 million of that on hand. Actually, I guess it was 4.2. We had $2 million of that on hand, and we stepped out in faith as a congregation, East Campus and South Campus, and borrowed $2.2 million. Building comes with burden also, right? I mean, it just does. It does. But here's the deal I want you guys to understand. That debt is a burden, okay? Because it ties up dollars. That's why it's so important for you and for me to work harder than ever before to get that paid down, right? Because we could service it through our budget, couldn't we? We could do that. I mean, we've got the resources to do that. But that means that resources that could go toward actual ministry to people would be cut out, okay? There's only so much money to go around. So I want to just put this before you, right? That we could do that, but we need to pay this off as quickly as possible. We can't just inch along. I believe we need to make a concerted effort to get it paid down. That's why we've set a goal for $3 million in 3 years. And let's be honest though, we can't just focus on the building. We can't just focus on the debt because it's never been about either one of those, has it? It's about seeing people come to Christ. And that's what we've got to do it. That's one of the reasons why we've got to get it paid down. That's one of the reasons why we've built it. We've got to see the lost saved and the saved discipled. I appreciated earlier in our Bible fellowship time when Pastor Mark shared his devotion from Matthew chapter 8 there when he was talking about the compassion that was in Jesus' heart when he was moved by compassion. Guys, I pray that you and I would see the need. And we see through the building toward people. And that the people will be paramount in our minds. That's the first action, to see the need. The second action to help us to give until we have to be told to stop is this. It's remember who this is for. Remember who it's for. Look at verse 5a. Verse 5a, the first part of verse 5, says, take from among you a contribution to whom? Help me out here. Take from among you a contribution to whom? The Lord. As you give, you're not giving to Eastwood. You're not giving to Eastwood. You are giving to God. Is this Eastwood's vision or is this God's vision? We believe that it's God. And so as you give, you are giving to God. Let me ask you one question. How much has the Lord given you? As you look at your life, and you think all the ways that God has been generous with you, how much has He given you? You can never repay God, but here's what you can do. You can glorify Him in your giving back. And you can also do this. You can show your gratitude as you give back to God. And I pray that you would do that in your giving. That's the second action, is to remember who this is for. It's for whom, church? The Lord. It's for the Lord. Third, the third action to help you give until we have to be told to stop is to give out of a generous heart. Give out of a generous heart. Look at verse 5 again. It says this, it says, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. You know, you and I should be open-handed with everything, shouldn't we? Because everything we have has been given to us. What do you have that you have not been given? Everything you have has been given to you by God to be used for His glory. And so we pray that we would be open-handed with God and that we would look to be a spiritual legacy. Somebody else came before us, didn't they? And they did mighty things. They did great things. We have an opportunity to be a legacy for someone else. To leave a legacy, to bless other people. And so when we give out of a generous heart, we are making an opportunity to impact Warren County, Allen County, Simpson County, Edmonton County, all the surrounding counties right here around Bowling Green for generations after we are dead and gone. So how do you get a generous heart? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I got a heart. I don't know if generous characterizes it. How do you get that generous heart? One is to recognize that everything you own is God's. Recognize that everything you own is God's. Secondly, is to be moved by His generosity to you. He has blessed you amazingly. And when you begin to focus on that, how much He has given, then you become moved in how you are going to give yourself. The third thing is to seek God in prayer. You know, Matt August, who's here at the South Campus, has put together a prayer guide for us. And in that prayer guide, the whole purpose of that is to get along, to get you along with God, or you and your spouse along with God, or you and your kids and your wife along with God as a family, and to seek His face. God, what would you have me to give toward this goal? And then finally, is to give without the other hand knowing. Where does that come from? That comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you think about that generous heart, when I think about that left hand and that right hand coming together, I think of holding on to, you know what I'm saying, to our resources. But when we don't let our right hand know what our left hand is doing, vice versa, I think that what that's saying is that we give even sometimes when it doesn't make sense to us, right? When you think about your resources and where you are in life, maybe you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make it work out, but God will provide. God will provide. He certainly will. And so you give out of a generous heart. That's the third action. The fourth one is this. If we're going to give until we have to be told to stop, is that we bring our gifts, that you bring your gifts out of your own free will. Bring your gifts out of your own free will. That's one of the things, as I read, look at verse 20 here in chapter 5. Time and time again, the Bible says here that people were moved by their spirit. They were moved in their spirit. They were of a willing heart. Look at verse 26. All the women whose hearts stirred them. Verse 29. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. Guys, I want to be very clear that no one is going to coerce you. Right? No one's going to come alongside you and say, how much did you give? Or here's how much you need to give. Or did you give? That's between you and God. That's between you and God. And so as you give, we want you to give freely. Because you want to. Because you see the need. You feel the call. The Holy Spirit has moved you, as it says here, to give. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, two ways. By God's goodness. And then, as I mentioned earlier, compassion for the lost. Again, as Mark shared in Matthew 8:36 this morning, that Jesus was moved by compassion for those who were sheep without a shepherd. And that you would see this as an opportunity to affect lostness right here in our area. You've heard Pastor Tom and I say that 96,000 people in Warren County will not set foot in the church this Sunday. Any church. 96,000 people. Now, some of them know Jesus and just aren't going to church. But you know what? The vast majority of them, they're lost. They don't know Christ. And if they were to die today, they would spend eternity apart from God in hell. And you and I have an opportunity to come alongside the ministry and to finance the ministry, that we would be moved by the Holy Spirit, not for a building, but for people that can be reached through that building. That's the fourth action. Bring your gifts out of your own free will. Here's the fifth action. The fifth action is this. It's to let your unique talents drive your giving. I want you to notice something here. Let your unique talents drive your giving. Did you notice how God kept bringing all these people who had skills that other people didn't have? That's one of the amazing things I love about this. Look at verse 10 just for a second. It says, let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded you. Skip down to verse 30. Look at what it says there. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, and of the tribe of Judah. He's filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, and he goes on and lists all these different things. What that means is that God had gifted them to do a specific work, to provide for the tabernacle. And every single one of us here come with different unique talents. Now, we're not actually building the building, right? It's done. Lord willing, it's done soon. And then we get water. We're going to meet there in two Sundays. And it will be done. So how does that apply to us? We still have to resource that building, don't we? And every one of you have a unique set of gifts and talents that you can use to raise resources for this building and for this campaign. Some of you are amazing with money. Some of you are great builders. And some of you are writers, and you've got all these different skills. You're great with your hands. You're great with speaking. I mean, every one of you have a skill and a talent that you can earn income from. Maybe it's just a strong back and a weak mind, right? Whatever it is, that's the gift and the talent that God has given you. And we pray that you would use that you might be able to give and contribute to the Lord's work. Every single one of you has a part to play. And we pray that you would maximize that. And so let your unique talents drive your giving. And then finally this morning is this. The sixth action to help you give until we have to be told to stop is to sacrifice in your giving. Go to verse 22 here. I want you to see this. Notice everything they gave. So they came, verse 22, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarn or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands. And they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought as a free will offering to the Lord. You think, you know what? They just had all that laying around, right? Probably not. Some of those things were prized possessions. Some of those things that they would have used in their own house. They were resources that they had plans for. But God called them to give. And they sacrificed those things. I read a quote this week. And it said something like this. It said, the greatest purpose for the things that we've been given is to use those things to honor God and to support His work. So I don't know what that is that God has given you, but the highest end of that thing that you have, or those resources that you have, is that they would be used to build up the kingdom of God. Go to verse 3 of chapter 36 here. Look at this. Look what it says here. It says, and they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought from doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing in free will offerings every morning so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary, each from the task that he was doing. Let's be honest here this morning. I talked about the unique talents and gifts that we all have. We will not be able to give equal amounts to this campaign. We won't. It's not possible. God has graced us and God has gifted us and He's put in places of life different from all of us. Okay, and there are some of you who will be able to give a great amount, and some of you, just the station in your life right now, you won't be able to give as much. Can I just say that's okay? Let me free you up. It's not about the amount that you give. Here's what matters. Was it sacrificial or not? Right? Do you remember the woman who gave the widow's mite? That's what in the Old King James. I mean, it was like less than a penny that she brought as an offering to God. And Jesus said that she gave more than anybody else had given. Why? Not in amount. In sacrifice. And so why we all, every person here, will be unequal in our actual giving amount, we, everyone, should be equal in our sacrifice. Now, let me say this. When you think about the South Campus and the East Campus, between the two, who should be most sacrificial? Shouldn't it be South? Aren't we the ones who are going to enjoy the building week in and week out, primarily? Yes, it's East Campus's building too, but week in and week out, it's us. And so if anybody is going to be sacrificial in this thing, it ought to be us. And I pray that you would see that. I pray that you would take that seriously. But as we give, as we think about the sacrifice, no sacrifice that we make compares to the sacrifice that Christ has already made for us. And so I invite you, in light of Christ, that you would give, and you would give accordingly. Here are the results I want to point you to. Look at the results here. When people give, and they give sacrificially, they see the need. When they let unique talents drive their giving, when they bring gifts out of their own free will, when they remember who this is for, when they see the need, when they give out of a generous heart, look what happens. Go to verse 5 here of chapter 36. Look at what it says. They said to Moses, the workers, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work. that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave command and word was proclaimed throughout the camp. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. What was the result? They had more than enough. And when you and I give, along with these principles, to this capital campaign, I am fully sure that more than enough will be given. Do we have any Duke basketball fans here? Some people are afraid. Oh, we've got one back here. All right. I feel okay using this illustration today because they're not playing in their tournament. They got put out, but we got to play today. This past January, I was at Southeastern Seminary, and I had the opportunity to go to Duke University. Southeastern Seminary is just minutes away from Duke University. And I got a chance to be on the campus. And even though I never cheer for their basketball team, in fact, I cheer against their basketball team, that is one of the most amazing campuses I've ever been on. The architecture is out of this world. The minds that are there is top-notch. I mean, it's one of the greatest universities in the world, okay? Do you know the story behind that? Tobacco farmers started that campus as far as funding it. Now, yeah, they were rich tobacco farmers, but they were tobacco farmers, just like you and me. Guys by the last name of Duke. Washington Duke was the daddy. In 1892, they gave $300,000. Benjamin Duke, who was his older son, he became the liaison between the family and the college. And then in 1924, James Duke, the youngest son of Washington Duke, set aside a trust fund of $40 million. And they said, "Thank you, sir, and we'll now call our college Duke University." But you know what? They saw a need and they gave to it. They saw a need and they gave to it. How much more should the people of God get to leave a legacy like that? We don't want our name on it, do we? We want Christ's name on it. We want the church's name on it. As you give, guys, I pray that you would give with vision. The Duke guys, they gave so that they would build a campus of higher learning. But as you give, guess what you get to give toward? Kingdom building growth. And I pray that you would catch that vision. Here's my prayer for us. May we give such that it must be said, that's enough. Don't bring any more. Let's pray together.